Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Oh, cool, yeah. Well, let's do that then.
Mark's done some prep.
Prep. I've had a lot of... Yeah, go on.
Is this recording, Danny?
It is, yeah.
Oh, that'll be the cold open.
The cold open.
Oh. Hello and welcome to Jokes with Mark Simmons, the podcast where I chat to another comedian about jokes they can't get to work. As always, I'm joined in the podcast studio by the one and only Danny Ward.
Here we are.
Here he is, and it's a guest episode, so we're joined by Nick Helm.
Hey! Oh, I'm still shivering from the cold open, Mark.
It was good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Danny said...
That was like my first joke prep. That didn't work.
Danny said prep, and I said pret. Bit of fun. We had we were gonna make a podcast called
Prepamonge.
That's quite nice.
Heavy like pretting.
That. Yeah, because we used to go swimming together, and we were going to do a podcast about going swimming. Called it Heavy Pretting, and sort of do it in pret. But they play music in pret, so it wouldn't work.
That's too many elements, though, isn't it? As well, it's not really about swimming.
Yeah, well, yeah, that was the other thing. The one element it was meant to be about only lasted for about 3 weeks.
Yeah, when we went on tour, so then that was that.
What was the element that was meant to be about?
Swimming.
Pret just or swimming?
Swimming. Right, okay. But pret is next to the swimming pool.
Yeah, sure, but none of that's in the title, is it? So it's like, so we're doing a podcast about swimming, and we're calling it Heavy Pretting.
Yeah.
And it's like, why? Because, well, we record it in a pret. What's that got to do with swimming?
No, but do you know the rules is to have a...
It should say no heavy pretting.
Yeah. You say, yeah, if you're afraid with the rules about
that's
no,
the rules,
and that way,
it?
So no, if anything,
no
we bombing, went along with
no
that.
Diving,
there is no podcast.
No fucking kids. It's like those are the big rules.
But there is no podcast, so there is no heavy pretting. So technically,
no,
we've succeeded.
Well, no, but I think you've dodged something there.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, it's just a bit of wordplay, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but right, you call it heavy pretting, and then you talk about like what you take guests to pret.
Yeah.
And oh, no, we weren't going to take a guest.
You talk to them about. Like,
swimming,
like no serious issues.
But then, what's the heavy? Doesn't the swimming element have to be?
What's swimming? Because
heavy
Mark,
pretting. Let go of the swimming.
Let go of the swimming. It's well,
actually, this could have, this could be
yeah,
quite
but heavy
a good
pretting,
idea.
But heavy pretting is the swimming. It's related to
you
swimming because of the sign.
You call it Mark and Danny's deep dives, and it's about you talking about subjects on the side of the pool, or you talk about real heavy issues in pret, right? But none of it has got anything to do with each other.
Because
famously, you're not meant to eat before you get in a fucking pool.
But that's a myth as well.
Is it?
Yeah, I read that the other day. God knows when, but yeah, apparently it don't make that much difference.
So you could do a podcast where you ate something and you nearly got in the pool and then you checked it and then you realised it was a myth and you call it Mark and Danny's Near Myths. Right, and it's where you almost do something like an old wives' tale, but then you check it and then you realise it's just an old wives' tale.
I feel like a podcast about coming up with podcasts is quite a good idea. I feel like, what would you call this one? Because that's quite fun, isn't it? Just come up with podcast ideas.
I think that is a good idea.
Yeah, just come up with loads of titles. That's endless.
What would you call it though? Pret-a-monge. What is it? Heavy pretting.
Heavy pretting because doing a swimming.
What is the heaviest sandwich you've ever eaten? Talk to people about the heaviest sandwich they've ever eaten. Call it heavy pretting.
I would quite like be interested just to hear about what people get up to in pret and what their go tos are, vis-a-vis juices, drinks, sandwiches.
Would you?
Yeah.
Would you? That sounds good.
I'm not saying give half an hour or anything, but you know, maybe a feature on something else.
Yeah.
Speaking of feature, is pret anyone's first choice?
I've got the app. Got the so subscription. Always.
It's your first choice.
Because I've got the app. Because you know what the app does? You get 5 free drinks a day.
It's not an app, Mark. It's a subscription is what you're...
But I've got an app.
You've got the app for the subscription.
But it's a subscription. So
you do a podcast about looking up looking up stuff on your apps, and it's called Things Are Looking Up. Right? And it'll be like people are like going, is Pret a good place? And then you go, I've got the app. And then you look it all up on the app, and then people go,
wow,
yeah,
this is... True. Genuinely, this is really... This is. I think we've just stumbled on something here. Maybe this is a new project. Let us know at Jokes with Mark if that's something you would listen to, and then we'll make it. Yeah. You free?
Heavy Pretting.
Yeah, we call it Heavy Pretting.
No, just hang on. What's the podcast? Things Are Looking App.
The Things Are Looking App. The pod. Anything about
pod?
Making a pod. Pod.
Thank
coffee.
Pod.
Coffee pod.
Thank pod. For podcasts.
Speaking of the podcasts, we did a podcast last week, and we there's something I couldn't remember, and it was really frustrating and probably annoying for the listener. And it basically when we were driving on tour the other day, I remembered my first joke that I wrote, and I told Danny it, and he made a note to talk about it on the podcast, but when it came to it, I forgot what the joke was and he couldn't remember. But my mate, who I started stand-up with, Kurt Driver, a.k.a. Stuart Foreman, he listened to the podcast and he remembered the joke it was. So I could tell you what it was. It's not good.
Right.
But I remember why we spoke about it.
Hang on. What's the joke?
First joke was...
What's this joke that you're talking about?
Take That have just released a song called Patience.
Yeah.
And I say, yeah, we've had a bit of patience and you're still shit.
Right,
that's the joke.
That's really funny.
That was it. I remember.
And I know why, because I just watched the Robbie Williams documentary. But then I just re-listened to my episode with you, Nick, and we spoke all about Robbie Williams, and I'd totally forgotten about all that.
Did we?
Yeah, Danny won't.
So's Nick.
Danny won't know about this.
No, I've listened to every episode before, Mark.
Of course you have. there's something I want to ask about that bit you used to do about
it.
So Robbie Williams called his... album Heavy Entertainment after you'd called your show.
My show was called Heavy Entertainment. Yeah. And then this is like a recap of the last episode.
Yeah, just very quick.
So hang on a minute. Just to recap. You couldn't remember the first joke you'd ever written.
I did originally when Danny asked me.
He got in contact and said, I remember it. And he told you.
And then that reminded me.
And you reminded me. And now you're telling me now.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
That's impressive that you remember Kurt Driver's name. Had you ever heard that name before?
Yeah.
He met him when he started.
Right, got you.
Okay. Yeah. But he's now called Stuart Foreman.
But which one's the stage name? Stuart Foreman?
Kurt Driver's a stage name. And he's got away from that
Kurt
now.
Driver,
is it Kurt or Kurt?
Kurt. But yeah,
Kurt, like Russell.
Yeah.
Not Douglas.
Yeah. So just to recap Danny with it and the listeners, Robbie Williams... You got bombarded with people saying that Robbie Williams had used the same title. So on Twitter, you replied,
Robbie fucking Williams.
Yeah. And then Robbie Williams, you didn't realise until someone told you, wrote that in his book about Nick being annoyed about it.
Somebody messaged me like 2 days before Christmas saying, you're in Robbie's book. And my whole blood, all the blood in my body went cold. And I was like... What have I done? I was like, there's no reason for me to be in Robbie Williams's book. And the person that's messaged me has messaged me, who works in comedy, messaged me like it was a good thing. But he just spent 6 paragraphs talking about how he'd never heard of me. And it's like, you spent 6 paragraphs talking about how you never heard of me in your own book.
Yeah.
And when I say paragraphs, some of these paragraphs were 1.5 sentences long, but they were all spaced out. And I think they went over a page. It started like halfway down a page, and then you have to turn over, and it's like it finishes at the top of the next page. And it was just all about like how he'd never heard of me. It's just like, stop going on about me then.
Yeah.
What are you in?
And then you said in your show, Phoenix from the Flames, you told this story, and then someone then let you know, which is a big punchline, is that Robbie Williams had a song called Phoenix from the Flames. So it was like a full circle.
It was perfect.
Yeah.
But so is that the end?
You did mention about you actually made friends eventually because he messaged you on...
I don't know if we made friends, but...
He had a pop at you on Instagram.
Yeah, on Instagram. He said that he's going to call... Because I had... So I had called my show Phoenix from the Flames, and I had a bit about Robbie Williams in it, and I told the bit about Robbie Williams. And I was just about to go on stage in Edinburgh, just about to go on stage in Edinburgh at the Edinburgh Stand.
Yeah.
And literally seconds before I went on stage, my phone alerted. It says, Robbie Williams has started following you. And I was like, I can't possibly investigate this in the time.
I mean, you can't take that.
And amazing.
I might start getting a bell.
A bell for every ding, pun? Ding. How many episodes are you in and you haven't done that yet?
We've got a few apps.
Got a few bits down there.
It's a bit far away from Danny.
You should definitely get a bell. Yeah, right. And so, right, but
but my question was going to be that. So that's the reveal at the end of that show. Was the punchline is that he had a song called Phoenix from the Flames? But I wanted to ask you a couple of questions about that.
Well, he had a song called Phoenix from the Flames, and I called my show Phoenix from the Flames. And he said to me on WhatsApp, he said, "I'm going to call my next album or I'm going to call my next tour Phoenix from the Flames." Yeah. And I was like, "Why would you call your next show
something evil?
Why would you name it after a song that you wrote in 1997?
So my question about the bit is two questions. One, that Phoenix from the Flames, is that not a very well-known song of his?
It's part of the album, isn't it? So Life Through a Lens, I think, was his first album. And that was a huge album. We used to listen to it on minibuses, like all the way, or with the school, like someone like Robbie, right? So we used to listen to that a lot. So Life Through a Lens, I think, was probably quite a big album. And Phoenix from the Flames was probably a fairly big single off of it, but I mean...
Right, because there's so much build-up.
Like Escapology, we're all still thinking about Rudebox now. Do you know what I mean?
So because there's so much build-up for that bit in the show, I was wondering, did anyone ever ruin it by getting to the fact that your show's called that too early?
No, it never came up. And I don't think Phoenix from the Flames really sticks out. If he'd had an album called Phoenix from the Flames, I think that would have been one thing.
Right.
And also, it would have been more perfect as a joke. Mm. But the fact is, none of it was constructed.
They would have given it away too soon.
None of it was constructed. Do you know what I mean? So it was so satisfying that it was it was really satisfying because I looked like an idiot as well.
Yes, it's self-deprecating. You know what I mean? Yeah.
So when Robbie started attacking me, mercilessly on Instagram, it was like, I wish you'd seen the routine, because it is me just taking the piss out of Robbie Williams, and then at the end, I'm like, I'm as much of an arsehole in the story as he is.
Yeah.
And it was quite sweet.
As far as like comments attacking, he set the bar low, hasn't he?
Well,
ding 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 ding.
Ding 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 ding. I don't get it.
Barlow.
Gary Barlow.
Oh, there he is. I was just trying to find out if it was released as a single. How did it seem on Google?
That means no then.
I used to have this about Nick when I had one of these. Do you ever have that book that had all the number one hits for every week of the year starting from
all of time?
Since the hit parade.
What do you mean, like a Top of the Pops annual?
Well, no, like a book. It had every single number one of every week.
It does not surprise me that you had that.
Yeah, that's I still have that.
Oh, do you know what? I've got like a film equivalent.
Yeah, film equivalent like that, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, I'd quite like that now because I couldn't find the
I like things like that. I quite often go through the Oscars and see what year, like go through a year and just see what was nominated and... Yeah. It's interesting.
Well,
isn't it?
It's interesting to go like what was up against
and what's held up.
So, like, Dancing with Wolves won, but what didn't win? And
yeah,
it was
yeah.
Goodfellas. Goodfellas didn't win.
Yeah,
but I think that's. I don't think that is mad. I think Dancing with Wolves is one of the greatest films ever.
Isn't it
made.
Really long?
And so is Goodfellas. What, Dancing with Wolves? Mm.
Yeah.
It's 3 hours long. But do you know how long the director's cut is?
No, God.
It's 3 hours, three quarters. It's fucking. It's better.
Wow.
It's better.
What do they add in?
Oh,
more dancing.
All sorts of slow motion. Kevin Costner riding a horse. Riding the fuck out of a horse.
When I saw it in the cinema, there was a intermission halfway through.
Yeah, good.
Oh,
like I think nice. They should have done that with Killers of the Flower Moon. You know, Flowers of the Killer Moon.
Oh, I didn't watch it because of...
Killers of the Flower Moon. Mm. Didn't watch it because of...
When was that? Is that a recent thing?
That's now. Yeah. It's out now.
Yeah,
well, Oppenheimer, everything could do with an
interval. Yeah.
Like, it just stops people fucking moaning about it.
How do you feel about intervals?
Have a piss for 3 hours.
How do you feel about intervals in your shows?
They're slightly annoying, aren't they? I think.
Do you have a support act?
No, I used to. You have to, like the option of you can have a support act or you can have a tech.
Right.
And my support act was David Trent, and then he basically doesn't do comedy anymore.
No.
So he was my support act, and. He had so much tech. We'd always get to the venue. Like, I'd be on stage at about 9:30, and we'd get to the venue at, like, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and we'd spend, you know, 4 hours setting up, and then by the time we'd set up, the audience were being let in, and then David would go on. And so that was always like, oh God, that's a bit of a bore. Like, and then and it was like, oh, what, do you know what? I don't really have a problem with talking. If I need 245 minutes with an interval in the middle, I can do that.
So you've just announced a new tour for next year. Little nice little plug. What's it called?
It's called
the Millennium.
What's it called? it's called Nick Helm's Super Fun Good Time Show or something.
Oh,
super
wicked.
Good Fun Time Show. And super Good Fun Time Show.
So have you decided
show.
Yet?
Super Fun Good
is
Time
it,
Show.
Is it written yet, or is it still it's being written now, right? So have you decided whether it's 2:45s?
I know that there's going to be... It's a show of two halves.
Yeah, so because you could either go on, do 20 minutes and then like an hour complete show.
Well, basically, for those of you that are listening and are interested in all of this, a lot of venues like there to be
no
interval.
One listens.
What do you mean no one listens?
Loads of people
just
listen.
Self-deprecating.
What's the point in
you
what's
there?
The point in me being here promoting my promoting
well,
my
we,
show?
We might come.
Oh yeah, all right,
I'm busy that night.
You don't know what night it is. I'm doing 40 dates. What do you mean? Well, it's for the listeners at home. Yeah.
The for Stuart, for fucking
Stuart Foreman,
Kurt Driver,
Kurt
Driver,
for Dirk Diggler.
Does that count as two people?
It sounds like a porn name.
They like
it?
Putting intervals in so that they can make a bit more money at the bar.
I thought it was contractually required.
Not always.
No, not always, mate.
No,
no, not always. And I think so. When you do Edinburgh, you write an hour.
Uh oh.
When you do Edinburgh, you do an hour, and then when you
Daddy's talking himself
tour,
out of a job next
I'm
year.
I'm just going to keep talking.
Yes.
When you go on tour, what they do is they go that hour, but then add it a bit. And so what you can do loads of things to like make that hour. I know when I do an hour in Edinburgh, I talk so fast just to fit in all the information. If I just talk normal speed, then it is like an hour and a half.
You said on the last episode that you it just happened to be that the first section was just stand up, and then the second section was like more real. Like it became more of a, you're telling from, you started with the Robbie Williams stuff, so that's real stuff. So would you try and redo that or just not, is that just a stroke of luck?
That was just that show, I think. Well, the thing is, I didn't have a place for that Robbie Williams story in the show.
Ah.
So I never told
it. Oh,
you
didn't do it in Edinburgh, did you?
I didn't do it as part of the hour. Mm. And I did that in the last show as well. I had a thing about Hitler's dad and I'd saved that for the tour. But I'm not doing Edinburgh this year, so I've never done a tour without doing Edinburgh. But the first half is going to be like a show, and then the second half is going to be, at the moment, something else that's a little bit different.
Like a rock concert?
No.
No?
Because I'm on my own.
So
there'll be songs, though. I didn't do songs in the last show because I was just like, I just want to write a show that's stand-up about the pandemic.
How did you find getting cracking with writing the new one? Because I've just started the process of writing this year's Edinburgh work in progress.
Well, I can write quite fast, and I'm not going on tour until March, so I haven't really. I've been making notes, and I know what all the songs are going to be. I know what all the poems are going to be. I've started writing all that stuff.
Are you doing one-liners in this one?
Yeah, I'm gonna. It's going to be like an old school.
But do you? So when you're writing, like, do you compartmentalize?
Yeah.
That, so you go, right, it's one line at a time, it's poem time.
And I'll do a preview and I'll be like, I'm doing poems tonight. So I'll just do all the poems.
Ah, okay.
Rather than like, because I find that when you do previews, you end up sort of like trying to play the room.
Yes.
Rather than write the show. Hmm. And it's really difficult because you have people coming to see it, because people don't know the difference between work in progress and...
It's annoying, yeah.
And so they, like I did, and I always remember this, I probably said it last time, but like in Leeds, I went up to Leeds with work in progress. And then I went back to Leeds on tour. Mm. And people were like, we've seen this show. It's just like, no, you haven't.
Mm.
You've seen maybe two bits from this show.
Yeah.
And everything else is brand new. And there weren't any songs when I did it before. And
there
weren't any lighting. It was just like...
I think that's lucky because I do one-liners, I think they can hear, they forget them. But I think when it's a whole bit or a poem that really sort of resonates, I think they remember that more.
I think you're meant to remember like something like 10% of every show. And it's like, well, if you remember 10% of every joke and none of it's the punchline, then you're in luck. Aren't
yeah,
you?
Just the setups.
Watch it over and over again. I've got a Robbie Williams joke.
Have you?
Yeah, look.
Oh.
But I haven't fixed it yet.
Oh, great. Well, so is it for the new show? Is it linked to the issue or just a random...
Linked to what issue?
The Robbie Williams one.
You know, the fact that you've got
no,
a massive beef with Robbie
funny.
Williams.
I think it's funny. It's like
he listens to this, so...
It's like David and Goliath, though, isn't it? It's just like... I'm like an ant. Netflix.
Have you watched the Netflix show?
No, I'm fascinated by it.
Yeah, I've watched
it. I'm going to spend a weekend watching that.
You should. It's you'll love it.
What's the other one? What's the other documentary?
Is it the David Beckham one?
The Beckham one.
Oh, yeah, I've watched that. Yeah. I'm really into it. Yeah. What? Yeah. So what's the joke? Or you don't want to tell us?
Well, yeah, but like I think that there's something like Robbie Williams went for arsehole bleaching and came out white as a sheet. Robbie Williams went for arsehole bleaching and he came out white as a sheet. He's a famous arsehole.
So are you going to establish that you've got a feud with him?
What, where?
In the show, the new show.
Oh, I find it hard to believe that anyone come into my ninth show didn't see my seventh show. No, I'm probably not going to mention anything about Robbie Williams.
No.
No.
No, is that it?
Well, I just wish him all the best.
I read... Do you remember Pop Bitch?
Pop Bitch? Mm. What, the person or the thing?
The thing. Was it a person?
I don't know. No. I just was guessing.
Pop Bitch was like all the like scams. Gossip, yeah.
You told me about it.
Yeah, about the Robbie Williams. He spent a few bit of time in the cupboard on tour, apparently.
Did he?
Yeah, with his masseurs.
Oh, what's this?
Well, I told you, didn't I?
Yeah, but I'm trying to pretend that it's new.
All right, okay. But apparently, he likes a massage when he's on tour.
You've told him a story, and now you've lined him up with...
Just trying to get it.
But it's you haven't got the shorthand where it's like... So you, Mark, have approved all of Danny's anecdotes.
100%.
And Danny's now going through his anecdotes, but you haven't set up the thing that's like, I'm going to pretend that I've never heard it before.
No, I just thought he'd roll with it.
Well, I'm interested, Danny.
Yeah, thank you. So
he likes masseurs.
Yeah,
I feel this is a very Robbie Williams centric.
It was last time as well.
Are you? Well, I've got an event somewhere every 3 years.
Well, we want some stories for Pop Bitch, so
I got another good one for Pop Bitch as well.
Tell us
actually.
The first one about Pop Bitch.
Okay, he'd go away into a room with a massage. He'd have a massage. That in the morning one was like above board, but then the one between the sound check and showtime was with three masseurs, and I think the suggestion being it doesn't require three people to give you a
it doesn't require three people to wank you off.
What do you mean?
Yeah, speak for yourself.
Doesn't need three people to wank you off. What do you mean? One to crank the shaft, one to hold the balls, and one to massage the ego.
What about the old
Got the arsehole.
Male G-spot. If you have got six hands going, you might as well have one.
The male G-spot?
That is where it's located, Nick, and don't act the innocent.
Is it called male G? as in Mel and Sue?
No, that was Jerry Halliwell, wasn't it?
And that's linked.
I don't understand. Are you saying that there was an article in Pop Bitch?
Yes.
Are you saying on your podcast, this is going to be cut out, surely, that Robbie Williams has allegedly been having an affair with three...
Well, no, this is, I think, previously, before maybe he was married, I don't know.
Before he was married, he used to have sex with six hands.
Allegedly.
But should I tell you the other...
Take out with Pop Bitch.
Pop Bitch.
Nothing to do with us, Gov.
Yeah, we're just reporting on it.
Yeah, it's, I think there's a word for that, like fair usage or something.
Pop Bitch. Well, what's Pop Bitch? It's like...
So a website Danny used to run.
It's like...
So it was like a...
I've got a website called Metal Cunt.
Have you?
No, but it's good, right? Rock Cunt.
In the very early days of the pandemic... Oh, fuck's sake. In the very early days of the internet, there was the Pop Bitch. And it still exists.
When did Pop Bitch come along? In
early 2000s.
Early 2000s.
Yeah,
so, that's
salubrious gossip.
Around about 20 years before the pandemic.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, I don't know why I said pandemic then.
It's all right. We're all thinking about it all the time.
Well, your last show was about it, Nick. Okay, here it goes, right? So it says, right, big question. Who's asking what this week? Yeah?
Yeah.
Which comedian insists that her support act eats every meal on tour with her, but won't let them order the same thing she's having in case she gets food poisoning from it and needs them to look after her?
And this is from 20 years ago.
No. This is from, I got this. This is hot off the press, mate.
Is it Pop Bitch still running?
Pop Bitch is still running.
So that's right now. We can't throw anyone under the bus on there, can we?
So hang on a minute.
Yeah.
So Pop Bitch, who writes articles about Robbie Williams, is writing articles about a circuit comedian.
Didn't say circuit. I mean.
But you can't count touring a circuit. No, so it's a touring comedian.
Which comedian has a support act?
Which comedian has a and they insist that their support act eats all the same meals
as them,
but
it's
female.
Eats with them. but doesn't won't allow them to have the same meal.
Who's that?
In case the meal is poisoned.
What do you mean?
Well, there we go.
Do
I don't
you
know.
Two have to eat at the same time?
We don't have to, but we normally do.
You normally do, because it's social.
Yeah, and we've got the candles and everything, you might as well.
Like, you could be hungry, though, and you could be like, oh, I'm a little bit hungry, Danny, can we pull over here? And he could go, yeah, sure, you can eat, but I'm not hungry.
Every now and then I say, well, do you know what, I mean, I'll just have a, you know, a snack or...
Mm.
Yeah, but, I mean, on the whole, we sort of eat at the same time, don't we? Yeah.
I mean, I sort of...
But if you're touring on your own, Nick, you won't...
Well, no, I'd
but
be with my
with
tech.
His tech.
What about David Trent? Was he? Would you eat at the same time as David?
Oh God, it's just a nightmare eating on tour, isn't it? I would eat with David. Yeah, we'd go to Waitrose, and I would eat.
Would you? Hello, Mark.
Ooh, someone's doing right.
Ham.
I can stretch for M&S.
No, it'd be like Marks and Spencer's actually.
Yeah,
and it would be like, and I'd eat like a packet of ham and a salad, and he would be eating. I don't know what he ate.
Mm.
It's very hard to find food after a gig in this country.
So
it's
do
awful
think this
finding
is?
Food after a gig. Maybe you'd find like an Indian restaurant.
Yeah, you get either got Indian restaurant or Wetherspoons.
But
really.
Also the thing is that you get to like a service station and then you just realise that Burger King's awful.
Mm. Is it UK or America?
Doesn't say, champ. That's all I've got.
But you know the answer.
No, I don't know the answer. That's the point. They're,
what?
Well, they sort of tease and tickle.
Oh, well, this is
well,
no
I'm
use.
I'm not going to guess.
I'm not going to slag someone off by going, it must be such and such.
But who is it?
No, I don't know.
But you must be able to find out.
No, because this is it's subscribe.
So this is literally just a setup for us to start like throwing comedians under the bus and then we'll never know who was right.
It would be, but we've run out of time.
No, we haven't. Not quite.
Well, there was your out, Mark. Fucking hell. No. Can't do much more than that.
Who was it?
Oh, I see what you mean.
I honestly don't know. It doesn't tell you.
That's the most pointless point of a podcast ever.
Well, this is a comedy. It's a podcast about comedy.
It's about stuff that doesn't work, though, isn't it? So, Danny, I'd say if you were going to do that again, I'd get the answer ready. And then when you do that next time, have an answer.
Right. Just to reiterate, I don't have the answer.
No, but when you do it next time, have an answer.
Next time, that's well, it.
Next
it
time you do like a fun...
I've already deleted the screenshot.
Next time you do a fun quiz,
yeah.
I'm doing inverted commas with my fingers, bunny ears.
Yeah,
right.
I can see
next
it.
Time you do a fun quiz, have the answer ready in your back pocket.
There's the fun in that.
That's what I'd do.
Quick fire, Dan, Nick.
Danny,
any,
Nick.
Any jokes that haven't worked on the warm-up so far?
No, because I haven't started warming up really. I've just been writing. I'm gathering. I'm collecting stuff.
The gig you did last night.
The gig I did last night.
Anything didn't work?
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I mean, all of it.
Where was it last night?
I don't want to throw a venue under the bus,
right.
But I did a weird gig. It was the sort of gig that you would do when you were starting out.
Right.
And it was like, I don't know.
Like a milk crate.
I don't know why I've done this. I don't know why how I've got this gig. I've got paid.
Nice.
But it wasn't a gig. Oh. It was weird. But it was nice because it was just like, oh, there are still gigs like this.
But when you do that, do you just do your new stuff? But do you just, you don't even, you ignore
it
old
It wasn't
beer.
Even an opportunity to do material. It was literally they,
what is
they
this?
Weren't clapping when people were coming out.
Oh, I can't wait to find out off air.
It was like they announced, and also there was like eight people in, and I was.
Who books it?
And there was like, it did, there, to be fair, by the time I got on stage, there was 12 people on, right? And there was sort of like quite a big name that was headlining, and it was like,
did they make you eat dinner together?
No, and there was like a flyer that had loads of like really big acts on it, and it was like, right, and then it was like, what is this?
Mm.
Like, what is this? Are you just promoting this directly within the venue?
Money laundering.
It was just like, what?
And tourist trap.
And so most of it was spent just sort of talking, you know, just trying to sort of like, I was opening, so I was doing a bit of comparing. Mm. You know what it's like. It was such a weird
thing. Do you know what it's like to open anymore?
you like, is that we're going to comparing? Because that's like, you don't really do that.
How long did you have to do it?
I can't imagine you. When was the last time you compared? Because that's not really your act.
I compare every year. I do my charity show.
But that's to your own audience. That's a different
that
sort of
true.
Cup
yeah.
of tea, isn't it?
How long did you have to do, Nick?
20 minutes.
Oh, okay,
I
so
was
it
just
wasn't
like
a preview. To
I don't
want to
do. I don't want to. It wasn't right. a preview. It was a gig. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. It was just a gig, and it came in, and I was just like, "Yeah, I'll do it." And then I did it, and it's like, "Oh no, not this." But I did enjoy it. I tend to enjoy every gig at the moment. I'm like the bad ones, the good ones. I just enjoy
grateful
being
to be gigging.
It's the best grateful to be gigging.
I'm
it's the best job in the world.
I love it so much, though. I love just sort of like, because I feel like at the moment I do have like material, but I'm also what I'm doing is I'm experimenting with being chaotic.
Mm.
And
great.
So you go on stage and then you have like old ladies screaming at you. Going like, fuck you! And you're like,
what?
That's incredible. That's incredible. Because
Mark's ears are pricked up here.
Because they went out for a nice night out. And
this was yesterday.
I genuinely don't think I've upset anyone or wound anyone up. And like within moments, this wasn't yesterday. This was on Tuesday. When I my gig on Tuesday, I went out and there was a weird stage where there were, ended up being like audience members that were sat behind you while you were on stage.
Mm.
Like just to the side.
In the round.
It was almost in the round. It was like just over a semicircle, just over a semi, right? And there was this woman and she looked like Prue Leith, right? And I came on stage and I was like talking and I always look at someone friendly in the audience and no one can see their face. And I always say to the friendliest person in the audience, what's your fucking problem, you know? And I said, are you going to be staring at me like that the whole way through? And sometimes it will be someone that's just sort of like got resting bitch face and can't like control how they look, right? And I'll say it, and then I'm just trying to like, I'm tickling them, right?
Yeah.
I'm just sort of
they
like,
don't know, but they don't know you do it every time.
No, but I'm teasing them, right? Mm. And I do it. And I said to this woman, are you going to look at me like this every time? And I'd literally been on stage for like 10 seconds. So the joke was to be kind of like immediately antagonistic. And the woman said, well, give me something to smile or laugh about. And I was like,
she Bane.
What? Yeah, right. And I was like, oh no, it's like this. She's like coming really hard. Like, she's like, yeah. It's like one of those comments where it's just like, you're not here for any form of fun whatsoever.
But there's no way of dealing with that until you've established you're funny. So early on, that's the worst heckle you can possibly get.
Yeah, because it's just sort of like, what am I meant to do?
Because you haven't got the room then.
Oh, I had the room.
Oh, yeah, of course you had the room.
It was such a lovely gig, but at no point did she warm to me at any point. And then, and because she was sat behind me, yeah, I was kind of like looking at people in the audience going, does she still hate me? Because I couldn't see her face. But yeah, I mean, that was it. But the one last night was just like, it was sort of pointless. So So I'm kind of like just experimenting with kind of like how to be silly with the audience and stuff like that. But because that's all it is.
Yeah.
It's just finding like a way of just being an idiot. Right?
Yeah.
And so I talk for a very long time at the moment about Haribo. Because I'm trying to, I'm not, you don't really do observational comedy. Right?
No.
What about you, Danny? Do you say, would you say you did observational comedy?
I'd say so, yeah.
Yeah, it's not like generic observations. That's, it's like observations within your life. And,
yeah, very.
Yeah, right.
Cerebral.
So, like, I wouldn't be like, hey, you know, ATM machines?
Yeah.
What's that about? Do you know what I mean? I'd be like...
It's an umbrella term.
I would tell sort of like a story about an ATM machine
So people can relate to it, so, but it's not specific.
Or I would do like a 15-minute routine about Pepsi Max Cherry, about how the prices change every time.
Yeah.
But it's observational because I've observed it. But you package it as like this, like, what's that? Why are you talking? Why are you still talking about Pepsi
Max? How long's the Haribo bit?
Well, it could be anything between... Well, let's just say I should have called my show.
Tankfastic.
Supermix. Yes. Something else.
Nick Helm Supermix. That's quite
a
good...
That's not bad, is it?
Because that's like a musical...
That's not bad. Is the publicity gone out yet? Because that...
Yeah, it all went out this morning.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Look at that. I cooked for Pooley once. Cooked with a duck. And her words were, if I had any skill at cooking, I'd be really good.
That's what her words?
Yeah.
About herself?
No, about my duck.
I was just thinking, oh, she ate you your duck.
Yeah, she said, if
your
you had
duck
any skill,
was so good, she was like, oh, God, if only cooking, I was good at cooking, Danny. Yeah.
Wow.
That's really mean.
Yeah.
Why? What, in what context did you cook for
her? Why were you cooking for her?
She
was a runner or something?
It was a pilot for Britain's best home cook.
I didn't know you could fly. You should have been concentrating ding, on that ding, rather, ding, than ding. Rather than the duck. No wonder people were ducking.
So on that note,
idea for podcast.
Have we finished? Do we have the end of the show?
Where can people find out
about
your tour?
I barely touched on any material that I can't make work. Well, and you didn't help me with anything.
I asked you.
I've got
you
a punchline and I need a setup.
Go on then, what's that?
Flew off the handle.
I know, you said that one last time.
I know, right. Okay, I still haven't fixed it. Come on.
Because you said that you say it and you go, you guys work it out.
Can it be something about Gatchy getting flu, influenza? I tell you what, sneezed while cooking the other day, flew off a handle.
I mean, that genuinely is really good. That's great.
Yeah, but it is really good, but I'm never going to...
I sneeze by a door.
A, I'm not going to use it, and B, I'm not going to let you have it. So we're at a stalemate.
And on that,
I think it was like, I saw a wasp the other day on a doorknob. I told a wasp on a doorknob to fuck off the other day, and he flew off the handle.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, I'm imagining it with like, I don't want to imagine it like
what's wrong
with
that?
Germs. Well, I've just thought of it then.
Any other jokes?
No, I've got a couple of songs that I can't work.
Do you want to sing them to us now?
I'm not going to sing them. But if I had a song called Rain Your Love on Me,
yeah,
what would that be about?
Jizzing on someone.
Oh, please.
That's what you meant, though, isn't it?
No, it was piss. I was pissing on someone.
Oh. So, still, it's pretty similar.
Yeah, but piss is so much cleaner to wipe off, isn't it?
I wouldn't know. Danny?
What?
Piss just rolls off
my earphones just cut out.
Piss just rolls off your hair, off your body hair, right?
Oh, this isn't fucking... This isn't going in the right direction.
One direction. I thought it was take that. Yeah. Okay. It's not, that's not really a joke.
So is that
E17?
So is that what the joke's about?
we're in E15 actually, Nick.
Boys to Men. What? Backstreet Boys.
Oh, look at us in sync.
Amazing.
So where can they find out about your tour?
It'll be Owen Beatles. Mark Owen.
Mark Owen, yeah. Where can they find the tour?
Where can they find the tour?
We should go on tour together.
It's going... I think...
Oh, what the fuck am I... All of us.
Oh, right, okay. All right, Danny.
Well, you're looking at me in the eyes.
I've got a genuine idea of doing kind of like a... I reckon if we got like 10 of us and we could do like a Wild West roadshow and we could just like go around the country together doing gigs.
That would be fun.
How long would
it... There'd have to be big gigs to make it financially worthwhile for 10 people. Yeah,
there wouldn't be 10 of us on the same bill.
Oh, we'd just take it in turns?
Yeah, there'd be like a rolling lineup.
So it'd be us, and we'd get some really, really, really big name comics on there, and it'd just always be us that turns up.
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect. Great stuff.
Absolutely.
So
featuring Groucho Marx.
Where can I find... Oh, the music started. And it's, where can I find out about the tour?
You're under no obligation to finish before this music ends. I'll just shift it in post. So don't panic.
Oh, there we go. So
I can't hear the music because I've not got headphones.
Where can we find out about the tour?
Tell me about it.
The Super Fun Good Time Show.
Yeah.
My Super Fun Good Time Show is touring everywhere. Well, not quite everywhere, obviously. As soon as you post, everyone's complaining that you're not going to them.
But then you go to those places.
Can't believe I'm not going to Liverpool. And then I remember my last gig in Liverpool and I'm like, I can believe I'm not going to Liverpool. I enjoyed my last gig in Liverpool.
Good.
It's just me another too. One I'm of them classic to, jokes that don't work.
I'm going back to Liverpool on my tour as well. So do check out my tour as well at Jokes with Mark on social media and marksimmers.co.uk.
Luckily, I will be touring when you're in Australia, so there'll be no clashes.
Oh, thank goodness.
I'm touring from the end of March to the beginning of June, I think.
Oh, perfect.
So it's like a long one.
The only trouble we have got, Danny, with
the
music.
Follow me on Instagram. It's the Nick Helm on Instagram. I'm barely on Twitter, but it's the Nick Helm on Twitter, or X, as we now call it.
Nice.
And I'm on Facebook. I've got a Facebook fan page, but I don't really monitor that. It kind of is linked to my Instagram.
Oh, so it sorts itself out.
And maybe come to my website and look for my tour dates on nickhelm.co.uk. But I mean, I'm.
You're going to extend the tour after that.
Well, if I sell enough, people are instantly like I announced like a London date, and then people are like, "Oh, can you do another London date? Because I can't make that one." It's just like, "Well, that's the London date.
You need to sell that one first.
Sell that one out, and then I'll add another date."
Yeah, yeah, perfect. Well, let's do it.
I always like doing an extra date in Nottingham.
Hopefully, Stuart Foreman will come over and watch it.
Kurt Driver.
Make it worthwhile doing this. Yeah.
Great.
Mark, you're worried about the music. You don't need to be worried about music.
No. What I was going to say about the music was because you're going to shift it back a bit.
Is this all going to be left in, or is this coming out?
Yeah, I think it's edgy.
I mentioned the music starting, so the music won't have started.
Yeah, and I'll say, but it's okay, I'm going to shift it back. So when it starts.
Okay, like, that'll be quite fun.
A bit of fun. Yeah.
Is that music playing now?
No. If only you could tell.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, no, it is probably
now. No, but like, is there music playing?
Technically, it probably is playing now.
Coldplay. Is there music playing? It's not really a boy band. North and South.
It's a band with boys in it.
Is there music playing now, Danny?
There could be. I mean, there will be.
He'll move it around whenever, just whatever he pleases.
Of course he can.
He's like the wind.
Anything more from you, Danny?
Nothing more from me, Mark. Anything more from you, Mark?
Nothing more from me, Danny.
Anything more from me?
Anything more from you, Nick?
Keep supporting live comedy, I guess, guys.
And remember, everyone, be more Gareth. Hashtag Awooga.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.